Just like to say again that me and Brother John Mark have been so blessed to be here in your midst, and we've had a wonderful time, and again have felt the love of the Lord Jesus reflected in your hospitality. The food has been wonderful, from the breakfast to the lunch to the supper, and we're so thankful for the sweet visitation and fellowship we've enjoyed in this place. And again, appreciate your hospitality, and Brother Ronald and Sister Karen's, and we're just so thankful to have been here, and want y'all to come see us, and we'll do our best to return the love that you've shown unto us. I would like to continue the Lord being our helper and looking at some of the beautiful truths contained in the book of Ruth. We had gotten down to the place in Ruth chapter 2 where Boaz has spoken very comfortably unto Ruth, and she's felt totally unworthy of this and has asked, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" And certainly as little Ruth, I think that's all been our experience. When we've seen the graciousness of the Lord and realizing our own unworthiness, is why would the Lord be so good to us? But he is, and he loves us, and his love is unconditional. He loves us when we're acting right, and he loves us when we're not acting right. His love never fails. Ruth is comforted by this, and Boaz continues his comfort of her in verse 14. "Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left." This paints a picture here that not only was Ruth eating of Boaz's food, she was eating of the food that he had reached with his own hand. Right. You know, our Lord has always been concerned that his sheep would be fed. He tells Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And the food that the Lord blesses us with, much like the manna that fell from heaven in the Old Testament, our food does not come from men. While we are blessed to hear ministers preach the gospel, and we as the sheep of God are fed by that, and the ministers of the gospel are blessed to give out this food, the food comes from the Lord. It comes from his hand. When the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, the disciples were blessed to give out the abundance of this miracle that the Lord had done. They were blessed to give it out, but the miracle was from the Lord. And I hope we never take it for granted when the Lord feeds us with his food. We've been blessed to feed on food that comes not from this earth, but comes from heaven, that we're thankful, and that we never take it for granted what the Lord gives unto us. It said that Ruth ate, and she was sufficed and left. She was filled. When the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, they were filled. Not only were they filled, they had 12 basketfuls to take home. You know, the preaching of the gospel is such a wonderful thing that it's just not only good for us today, but it's good for us tomorrow and the next day. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes I've come to a crossroad in my life, And I've got the choice to take the right and the good path or to take the wrong path. And sometimes the Lord will bring back to my mind a sermon I might have heard 20 years ago, and it'll feed my soul again, because we're able to take leftovers home from the house of God. Said, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. The sheaves was the bundles of the harvest. He said, don't just let her glean of the leftovers. You let her glean among the sheaves. You let her glean upon the abundance of my harvest, and you rebuke her not. The Lord so bountifully blesses us. He said, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. He said, you leave some behind. You leave some handfuls of purpose behind just for Ruth. They are for her individually. You know, we serve a personal Savior. Our Lord is a personal husband to us. When the Lord chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, He chose us individually. When the Lord comes to us at some point in our life between conception and death, and we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, He comes to us personally, and we personally hear that life-giving voice of the Son of God. Now I'm going to tell you, when the Lord Jesus comes again, He's coming back to us personally to come and to take us home to be with Him forever in heaven and immortal glory. Our salvation is very personal. Our Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship and fellowship with Him is a very personal thing. Now I'm going to tell you, these handfuls of purpose were for Ruth individually. And I'm going to tell you, as little Ruth, our Lord leaves handfuls of purpose just for us individually. Have you ever been thinking of a certain scripture all week long? And it's been on your mind, and you come to the house of God, and out of all the scriptures the minister may preach on, he preaches on the very one that you've been meditating about and praying about all week. That's the Lord leaving some handfuls of purpose just for you. He's reminding you individually how much He loves you, and He's taking care of you, and He's left some handfuls of purpose just for you. Have you ever been thinking about a song all week? One of the songs we sing in our hymnal, and thinking about that particular song all week, and you come to the house of God and that song is called on by one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, I'll tell you, the Lord has left some handfuls of purpose just for you. Have you ever been wondering about a particular question? Maybe you have a particular decision to make in your life and you're struggling with it and you don't know the right way to go, and you come to the house of God and you hear the very thing you needed to hear as preached by a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just what you needed to hear, you individually, you heard it. I was trying to preach at Reveille Primitive Baptist Church in Arkansas. And there was a subject the Lord, I believe, laid on my mind, and I'll be very frank, I didn't really want to preach it. The Lord had laid upon me the subject of forgiveness. Not His forgiveness of us, but for us to forgive others. And that's kind of a sermon you kind of think about preaching at home. But the Lord had laid strongly upon my heart to preach that message. I didn't really want to preach it. But he made it so clear to me that I knew if I didn't preach that message, I would be in direct disobedience to God. And several people came through the handshake after that message and say, that was just for me. You know what God had shown them? He was leaving some handfuls of purpose just for them. He does that to us. Sometimes we may be reading the scriptures in the privacy of our own home. And our hearts might be heavy with the trials and the tribulations of this life. And we turn to just the right text that will bring the balm of Gilead to our aching souls. And the Lord reminds us once again that he's left some handfuls of purpose just for us. What a wondrous God that we serve. Says that Ruth goes home and she was sufficed. She goes home with leftovers to take back to Naomi, and the blessings of God are always abundantly and far more than enough just to fill us, but to be abundantly blessed and to have leftovers for tomorrow. She goes back and Naomi sees all that she's come home with. She said, where in the world did you glean today? She said, I've been in Boaz's field. You know, when Naomi heard that, it totally changed her mindset. Remember what Naomi said when she came back into the city, into Bethlehem, Judah? She said, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. And I said that she wasn't thinking right. But look at how she's thinking now. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is nearer of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. She realized that the Lord had not dealt very bitterly with her. She realized that the Lord had not left off his kindness for her and for Ruth and even for her deceased loved ones. How did she realize that? She realized that when she looked at the kindness of Boaz, her kinsman, Redeemer. She realized that God was good. You know, if we ever get to thinking in our life that God has dealt very bitterly with us, one of the things that can change our mindset is when we look at the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, our husband, our kinsman, redeemer, and all that he's done for us, and we're made to realize God's not left off his kindness toward us. And she realized that what changed her mindset is when she looked at the kindness of Boaz. I'll tell you, when we look at the kindness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it can change our attitude. Amen. In a moment. Naomi tells Ruth, verse 22, don't let anybody ever meet you in another field. Ruth's getting good advice. She's already been told that by Boaz, and now Naomi is telling her. And Naomi, throughout this account, gives Ruth very good advice, and it reminds me of how blessed I've been in my life to have godly people that were older than me, that had had more experience of life than I have had, to give me good, godly, sound advice. Now, I'm going to tell you, particularly us as the younger in the congregation today, may we listen to the godly older people that God has put in our life. May we heed their advice as they give us good and godly advice. At the beginning of Ruth chapter 3, says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Do you remember how Ruth started? With one of the statements of Naomi being, "May you each find rest in the house of your husband." Now she's saying, "Listen, Ruth, you need to find rest that it may be well with thee." She tells her to go, and that Boaz is going to be winnowing barley night in the threshing floor. Verse 3, she says, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. Put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. It shall be when he lie down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie." Naomi says, "You remember where Boaz is, and you mark the place." You know, when we come out to the house of God and we're blessed to meet and commune with our Boaz, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through faith, we need to mark the place. We need to remember it's in the house of God that I was blessed to commune and have that special fellowship with my Savior and Lord. And we need to remember that place and mark that place. For we'll see him there again, in that same place. She said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, that will I do." She also said, "It shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Naomi says, "You go lay at his feet. You go to the feet of Boaz, and he will tell thee what thou oughtest to do." You know, beautiful things happen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one time where the Lord Jesus Christ was in the home of Mary and Martha, and Martha was careful and troubled about many things. She was worried about a lot of the things of this life, and she began to complain against Mary and said, "Lord, you tell her she needs to help me." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." What part had Mary chosen? The Bible tells us there that she was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing his words. She was there at the feet of her Savior and her Lord in communion, and she was hearing the most precious words that could ever be given from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Special things happen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary goes to those same feet. Her brother Lazarus has died, and she hears that news we tried to preach on the other night. The Master has come. And he calleth for thee. And she goes to his feet to find the comfort that she can find nowhere else on earth, at the feet of her Savior and her Lord. Luke chapter 7, there's a woman who's a great and notorious sinner. And she's mourning over her own sin, to the extent that her grief and her mourning is so much that she's weeping so much, she's able to come to the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to wash his feet with her tears. Can you imagine, as we engaged in the foot washing service, if we had an empty bowl? But our tears and weeping over our own sins were so great that they would fill up that foot washing bowl. That's the tears that this woman was shedding. She was agonizing and in grief over her own sin. And she goes to the only place she knew where to go to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, at his feet, she heard some wonderfully good news. She heard that her sins were forgiven. Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. I'm going to tell you, it's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that she knew and she got the sweet good news that her sins are forgiven, that they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Beautiful things happen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, when we're blessed to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and we come to him mourning over our own sins and weeping over our own sins, we hear the same sweet good news that she heard, that our sins are forgiven us, that we have a husband that died for us on Calvary's tree and our sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's good news. What sweet times there are at the feet of our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth goes and does as Naomi has said, and she said, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. If we look in Ezekiel chapter 16, we'll see I believe what's being discussed here. I want to go back. I'm going to read a few verses here, but y'all bear with me. I'm going to go back to verse 6 of Ezekiel chapter 16. This is the Lord speaking, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. This is the Lord speaking to us when he gave us life and brought us from a state of death and trespasses and sins to a state of life in him. He said, I caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I pass by thee, and this is getting to the part that I think is alluding to there in the book of Ruth. Now when I pass by thee and look upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. He married us. He spread his skirt over us and took care of us and married us. Said, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil, and I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, the comeliness of the husband, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. The Lord, our husband, put his comeliness, put his righteousness upon us, his bride. And the analogy here is of us being his wife and of the Lord spreading his skirt of protection over us. We see that beautiful analogy here in the book of Ruth. I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Back in those days, and if you look in, for the sake of time, we don't have time to go there, but if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 25, you'll see when a man died that his brethren or his kinsman was to marry his wife and to raise up seed unto him. If you look in Leviticus chapter 25, you'll see the kinsman redeemer protocol in the redeeming of land. So when somebody had died, there should be a near kinsman, there should be a kinsman redeemer that would come and marry the woman whose husband had died and redeem her land. Now here's Boaz. He's a kinsman. And he comes, and let's see what he says in regards to Ruth. He said, blessed, this is verse 10, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou didst not follow as not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. He tells them there's a kinsman nearer than him. Verse 13, he says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman, then will I do the part of a kinsman. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. He makes a promise unto Ruth. He said, I will do the kinsman's part. And I'll tell you, before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made a covenant together that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and do the kinsman's part, that he would come and he would pay for his bride upon the cross of Calvary. She lay down until the morning. She was able to rest in the promise of Boaz. And I'll tell you, we're able to rest in the sweet promise of our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. She goes back and Boaz gives her more bounty, 6 measures of barley. And she goes back to Naomi. And Naomi sees the abundance she's gone back with. And she says in verse 18, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day. She said, what Boaz has promised to do, he will do it quickly. He will do it today. Remember what Boaz's name means. It means fleetness. That's what his name means. Quick, fast. We look in Romans chapter 9 and verse 28. We've got a very precious scripture here. In speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, for he will finish the work. It doesn't say we, it says he. Because the work that's under consideration, the Lord Jesus Christ would do alone. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 said, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, when Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, he did it alone. When he came to purchase his bride, he did the work. It wasn't Jesus plus us, or Jesus plus the evangelist, or Jesus plus the preacher. It was just Jesus. He did it alone. In Romans chapter 9, verse 28 says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." He redeemed us, and he did it quickly. You know, it boggles my mind to think that in 6 hours upon the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to redeem us from all our iniquities. The equivalent of the punishment of those iniquities was an eternity in hell for all of us. And in 6 hours upon the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus redeemed us from every single sin that every single one of the elect family of God ever have committed or ever will commit. In 6 hours, I'm going to tell you, that's fast. He redeemed us, and he did it quickly. He's Boaz. He's fleetness. A short work will the Lord make upon the earth, and he did it alone. With no help, he did it alone. Boaz goes to the gate of the city. He goes according to the law, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city. He began to speak to this other kinsman redeemer, a one that was possibly that was nearer kin than he was. But listen to what's said. He tells him about the land, and he said, "Oh, I'll redeem the land." No problem. Then in verse 5 it says this, "Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." Boaz tells him, "No, you're just not redeeming the land. You're redeeming Ruth. She will be your wife." Listen to what he says. "And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now, he said twice in that one little verse, "I cannot redeem it." Now, I'm going to tell you, there's nobody but our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, that could have redeemed us from our sins. He's the only one. He's the fully God, fully man. He's our kinsman, redeemer. He's our husband. He's the only one that could have redeemed us from our iniquities. Nobody else could have. And this nearer kinsman says twice, "I cannot redeem it." They went through the other matters of the law. Boaz said unto the elders in verse 9, to all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day that I bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Milan's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Milan, have I purchased to be my wife." This was more than a wedding. This was more than her marrying her. He purchased her. He purchased her. First Corinthians chapter 6, you remember that verse that says, "We are not our own. We've been bought with a price." When the Apostle Paul is speaking unto the Ephesian elders in Acts, he, and I can't get that quote, I'm going to have to turn there. It's in Acts 20. He's speaking there unto the Ephesian elders. He's giving them some parting comments, and he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." He bought us. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ruth is here. He not only married her, but he purchased her. He bought her. He redeemed her. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have a Boaz. We have a husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was not only willing to marry us, he was willing to redeem us. He was willing to buy us. And he bought us with the most precious price that could ever be given. That was his own blood. We're bought with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All the people are rejoicing. Boaz says, "Ye are witnesses to this event." Verse 11 said, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah.'" Wait a minute. This Ruth is a Moabitess from the cursed place of Moab. You know where the Moabite people came from? You remember when Lot's daughters were afraid they would have no seed, and they got their father in a drunken stupor, and they had children by their father? That ungodly lineage, one of those ungodly lineages, is the Moabite people. Here comes Ruth from a foreign heathen nation, a place of false religion and false gods, accursed people from the lineage of an ungodly union between a father and his daughter. But look at what they say. Because of who her husband is, they said, "The Lord make you like Rachel and like Leah." We're all just Ruths, bankrupt, guilty sinners. Little Ruths from a Moabite nation, from a cursed people. But because of who our husband is, our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the blessing of being like Rachel and of being like Leah. That's grace. That's wonderful, matchless grace. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. You know, she had been blessed with the gleaning. She had been blessed with the handfuls of purpose, and she had been blessed to glean even among the sheaves. But now she's the wife, and she has all the abundance of Boaz. She's his wife. That's why in Christ as our husband, we have exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. We've been blessed with he as our husband to have the abundance of the kingdom of our Lord and of our husband. Amen. Though we were but Ruths from a Moabite nation, we've been blessed with the abundance of the kingdom, because the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, is our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're blessed with a child. Said she gave her conception, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which had not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his name may be famous in Israel." They wind up having a son. whose name is Obed. He's the father of Jesse, who's the father of David. Between this precious union between Boaz and this Moabitess is the grandfather of David, who afterwards, in that lineage, comes the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a story of grace. It's a story of love. It's a story of message. It's a story of marriage. It's a story of redemption. It's our story. We are Ruth, and our husband, our greater Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, has married us. He's redeemed us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, for we are his. One sweet day, he's coming back to get us, and we'll be with him forever in heaven in immortal glory. 1 Corinthians says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, and this mortal shall it put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, our husband, one sweet day, is coming back, and the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, and we'll hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we'll see our husband coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And he's coming for us. He's coming for his little Ruth. He'll take us home to be with him in heaven in immortal glory forever and forever. May we faithfully serve our husband all the days of our life. He's done so much, so much for us. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.